We got to be encouraged. Some of you guys are getting wore out. You're getting drained. You're getting tired. You're about ready to say, man, I can't do it no more. Okay? Ryan's a pretty good sized guy. And I want to say one thing, though. I really appreciate my sons. You know, for 35 years, my sons were kids of cop. My dad's a cop. And then for the last 10 years or so, my dad's a preacher. So you're always carrying that around. And you've always stepped in. I really appreciate that. And like last week, I'm very particular who goes behind the pulpit here, because I'll make sure what comes out to you guys is what needs to come out. And originally, the first person I wanted in here wasn't available, but what happened? He sends his wife. So praise God for that. So and Ryan has stepped up, and I'm just proud of you for doing that. Amen. No matter whatever I ask my son to do, any of my sons, they do it. No questions asked. And they don't worry about, well, I'm going to look like a fool, or what does anybody think. They just know, well, the Lord said for you to do it, Dad, go ahead and do it. So I'm going to demonstrate something here this morning. And what I want you to start doing, Ryan, is I just want you to start flopping around. Oh, you might just run around just back and forth, okay? And I'm going to try to slow you down a little bit. I want you to go until you get tired, okay? I'm going to show you something. Yeah, just whatever you want to do. Okay? Yeah, well, I'm going to try to catch you, but you run down that way and come back up this way, okay? I know you worked midnights last night, okay? But what I need to do, okay, well, I want to stop him from doing what he's doing, because he's going to hurt himself or somebody else. So when I try to grab a hold of him, yeah, burn it. Okay? It's going to be kind of hard for this big belly to catch up with. You know what I'm saying? Okay? So what do I finally do? Okay, go ahead. Keep running around. He took his pulse, yeah. And I don't need to be doing that. I got a better way for you. But finally, you get to the point, he's going to get wore out. And finally, when he's wore out, come on, come with me. See, and I got him now, okay? It's unscripted, so. So see how easy it is to control him now? Listen to me. How easy it is now to have him do what I know is best for him. See, I was trying to get him to calm down when he had all his strength. By the way, that his strength was gone and my strength took over. It's the same way they tell me if someone is in a pond drowning. And they're flopping around. If you dive in to rescue them, they will actually drown you. They'll grab a hold of you, all their strength, because they're trying to use their own strength in order to get out of that situation. But if you just be patient, they say, and watch them. Keep your eyes on them and watch them. When they go down for the third time they're out of strength, then you go in after them and you pull them back up again. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord said today, that's what you guys need to do. Some of you guys here today, is you've been struggling and struggling with people, and you've been draining yourself, and they're still on their own strength today. The Lord said, back off. Back off. Keep your eye on them. Keep praying for them. But wait until their strength is gone. Right. Then step in, and they will receive that. And when he spoke to me back there, he said, it happened to me. You know, as like I said, I've been a cop. I've been, all this. And I did everything on my own strength. A problem come up, I decided what to do. A problem come up, I make a decision. And finally got to the point in my life to where, man, I was drained. I did not know what to do. And I find myself in church one day. Okay? To a church that had been praying for me for 20 years. When I came in, they didn't say, I get out of here. It's too late. We've been praying for you too long. No. They welcomed me. And even though I might have spoke against the church at the time, I might have spoke against how crazy Christians are, I might have said all that kind of stuff at one time. When I finally was drained of my strength, and I turned to the Lord, man, He picked me up. And the church welcomed me in. And so we got to remember to do the same thing. Don't allow our hearts to grow cold. Okay? For those right now that you're praying for, those right now you're reaching out to, and no matter how much you say, you have to say, hey, listen, you need to be in church today. Man, you come to church, you're going to go to hell. Come on, come to church. And they keep resisting that. Keep resisting. It might be the time right now, and just close the lips and stay in prayer and keep your eye on them and allow them to do it on their own strength. What I'm saying about that is quit bailing them out. Do you hear me now? Yeah. The Lord says, quit bailing them out. It's time for them to walk by themselves. Otherwise, they'll never come to me. God provides all our needs. Amen?
Amen?
And some of you are taking your needs today and you're giving it out to those who are walking in the world and they're using it, stumping on it, and walking away. And God says, okay, it's time to stop that today. You keep them covered in prayer, but you allow them to run out of their own strength and they will come to me. But as long as you continue to carry them along, you continue to provide for ones right now who will not come to the Lord, they will continue to use you and continue to stay away from the Lord. Allow their strength to run out. Allow their strength to run. Don't abandon them. Continue to pray. Pray for the protection. Just like watching him when he's running or someone flopping the water. You keep an eye on them. When they go down, I'm going to be there right then to bring them back up. But if I go in too soon, they're going to take me with them or I'm going to drain myself. If you ever watch someone in the water flopping around and you see a lifeguard standing there and you see him watching him, you think, what is wrong with that lazy bum? He's getting paid to go in there to rescue them. And he stands there. And those outside of maybe don't know how to be a lifeguard, they might jump in and make things worse. They might jump in after them, and next thing you know, you got three or four people need rescued. But the lifeguard stands there, and he watches. He knows his opportunity there, and he steps in, and there's no resistance, and he brings them ashore. And we need to do the same thing in Christ, folks. We are trying, and you guys are awesome. We try so hard. But it's not by might, it's not by power, but by what? But by my Spirit, says the Lord. And through our prayers, as you continue to pray for the loved ones, whatever you're going through, continue to pray, keep your eye on them, be ready to step in. But they have to run out of their own strength first. Right. I'm testifying to that myself. I had to run out of my own strength. I had to get to the point that I didn't know what I was going to do next. And I run that point. I still had a great job. I had plenty of money in the bank. I had everything that most people think would be happy. But I ran out of strength. I could not live another day. And praise God that someone had been witnessing to me. Someone had been praying for me. Somebody invited me to church many times. And finally, they got to the point that they kept praying for me. Yeah. Without an invitation, I went to her one day and said, let's go to church with you today. She about fell over. I picked her back up. And what really got her was when I said, what do you guys do on Wednesday nights? But it finally came to the point, I was drained of my strength. And folks, today you got to let those with you right now drain themselves of their own strength. They might be flopping around for a while on the sidewalk. They might get mad at you worse. They might be cussing you out, saying you're no good. What kind of parent are you? What kind of husband are you? What kind of wife are you? But I'm telling you what, you're here to do the things of the Lord and not of yourself. Don't let the flesh intervene to what the Spirit of the Lord tells us to do. He wants them to come to Him, not to us. Come to us, we'll take you to them. But maybe for some of us today, it's time to step aside. It's time to let them flop for a little while. Let their strength be brought down to where they no longer fight and resist. Because the kingdom of the Lord is here, and His coming back very soon for the church. So be encouraged, guys. Be encouraged. Don't let people get you down. All kind of, you know, people come. When you try to do that, people come against you, think you're the worthless thing in the world. And those that you're trying to help with, they'll come up to Dolores. Dolores, let me tell you, I've been out here on the streets for 3 days now. You know, I got a family. They won't let me there. They won't let me in the house. What kind of family? They call themselves Christians, Dolores. They won't let me in there. You know, I just want to bring my girlfriend with me, and I'm going to bring my Ouija board and all that kind of stuff, and they won't let me in there. Well, they're supposed to be Christians. Can I move in with you tonight? See what I'm saying? They'll go out there and tell everything, and next thing you know, people talking about you. Well, do you hear about Ron? Folks, it happens that way. They start talking about you start being persecuted for doing what the Lord has called us to do, to share the gospel. Now, in the church, we got to watch ourselves because people play against each other. We have people come in here, and they play this church against the other church. My church up there, they won't help me out. They won't help me out. They threw me out. Okay, well, you go back here and see that church. You go back and talk to that pastor and find out why they threw you out. You're not coming in here unless you're well with them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God is awesome. But, folks, we are in a time, and you're seeing it all the time more and more, where the church is being persecuted and the body of Christ is being persecuted. And right now you look at Syria, what's going on over there. It's just, wow. But this morning the Lord gave me, I walked in the back door, He was over here, God was. That's hard to believe. No. Thank you. But I want you to turn to the second, to John 6:33. John 6:63, our Lord is speaking to us. And He says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken to you are Spirit and are life. Because the words of God, when they come to us, it is to strengthen our spirit. It is to increase our faith. Now, the body itself won't profit anything. And what He's saying there, He's talking about, is that this body is only temporary anyway. Amen? But the Spirit is for eternity. Again, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Now turn over to John 8:31. A little bit to your right there. Jesus is speaking again to each one of us today as born-again believers. He says, if you abide in my word, he said, abide in my word, stay in my word, follow my word, do as I have instructed you to do, is what he's saying, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Make you free. It sets you free from the things you're seeing right now in the news. Your mind is set that you know these things shall happen. But it's not the end. It's not the end. It sets you free from being scared to death at nighttime when you lay your head down, wondering what's going to happen in the world. Because you lay down your head, Christ is with you. When you raise up in the morning, His word says He's already there. He says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Make you free to follow Him. Set you free that you have to follow the things of the world. Set you free that you don't have to rely upon the world for what you need. That God provide all our needs to the riches and glory through Christ Jesus. He'll provide all your needs. As we continue on, waiting for His return, we see more and more outreaches to the government to help people with. Okay, we see that more and more. Sign up here, sign up for that, sign up for that. Make sure that you're relying upon the Lord to meet your needs and not the government. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I believe God can work through anything. He can work through your government, our tax dollars, to help us. Okay? But don't come to the point where you sell Christ out in order to help yourself with. And that means that here's a new program out by the government. If you sign this up and you say this, this, and this, we can give you food. We can give you finances. If you have to fill an application for the government and you got to lie on that, don't do it. No matter what you do, we are truthful. Do not lie. Sometimes it could be as little as $100 difference. They might check your income and say, man, if you just made $100 left, Kevin, if you just mark on this application that you made $100 less, I could give you food. Here, you want your application back? And you'd be tempted in the flesh to change that. But don't do it. Don't. Say, well, I'm sorry, this is the truth. This is what I make. If you can't help me, that's fine. My God shall provide what I need. Don't compromise. Once you compromise one time, then you do it again, and you do it again. And don't do that. I mean, you don't want to fall into that trap. Now go to verse 37 in chapter 8. Right above 37, 36, it says, therefore the Son shall make you free, and you shall be free indeed. He's speaking to the Pharisees. He said, I know that you are Abraham's offspring, yet you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. Jesus speaks to us, he says, I speak the things which I have seen with my Father, therefore you also do the things which you heard from your Father. He said, man, listen, I'm sharing with you from the Heavenly Father His love on what to do, and you're rejecting that. You seek to kill me. Jesus said, they want to kill me because I am sharing the Word of God to them. And what Christ said, that what they want to do to Him, and they did to Him, they'll do also to us. Amen?
Amen.
They have that same thing in us, that they want to destroy us because they don't want to hear the truth. Because the truth, with the Holy Spirit, it convicts people.
Right.
You know, and we are convicted of our sin out of love of God. He loves us and shows what sin is. Like we said earlier, He shows the sin, forgives the sin, and gives the strength to stay out of sin. All three of them come together. Verse 51, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Now, look what he said. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone hears my word, did he say hear my word? What did he say? The key thing is keep. He who keeps my word, he shall never see death. And that is so important. keeps my word. In church, that's where you got to be at today. How do you keep His word? You live His word.
Yes.
No compromise. Live His word, and you shall never see death. This body will park itself, but your spirit and your soul will live for eternity, forever and ever and ever. Don't compromise. It's so important. Do not compromise the word of God. As it comes to you, as you receive that, say, okay, that's it. That's the bottom line. That's it. Don't compromise it at all. We're in covenant with God, amen? Through Christ Jesus. He says He is the everlasting covenant. So this is it. This is, okay, you do this, you keep this word here, I'll keep my part. Okay? As we look at the word at times, or we share the word, say, listen, you're a born-again Christian. Yes, I am. Well, God says this is sin. And He says, whoever practices sin won't see the kingdom of God. Okay? He won't. And we're in the covenant. So we're in the covenant. Okay? I got eternity. It says this is sin. What do I need to do about that sin? I need to repent and turn away from it. Okay? You know, a union contract. You ever work for a union? You have a contract. Okay? And in that contract, if it says that every 2 hours, you get a break. You get a coffee break.
Yeah.
Every 2 hours. And I'll pay you $10 an hour. So you sign on with me, brother. Since you're up front, I'll pick on you, Bill. You sign on and say, okay, give me a coffee break every 2 hours for $10 an hour. Boom. That's our covenant. We kept that. Well, if you come in at 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock it's time for your coffee break, you say, I don't take a break. I said, nah, don't take a break. You say, wait a second. I got agreement here that I can take this break. Well, I've changed my mind. Okay? And so you say, okay, so you continue to work, payday comes, and you find out I paid you $5 an hour. What happens? There's a strike, probably. That's what happens, okay? Because the covenant has been broken. You expect, hey, I signed on, I get a coffee break at 8 o'clock, at 10 o'clock, and I get this much money in an hour.
Yeah.
The funny part of it, if you came to me as an owner, and you say, hey, listen, I didn't get my break, I didn't get my $10 an hour, and I would say, hey, don't judge me.
Yeah.
That make any sense to you, Bill?
Yes.
Don't judge me.
Yes, it does.
We do it all the time, don't we, guys?
Yeah.
How many times do we try to share with someone? Say, listen, you're a born-again Christian. You're confessing Christianity. But you're in sin. You need to get out of sin and say, don't judge me. But listen, I'm not judging. This is your covenant with God.
Yeah.
You get out of this here, follow me, eternity. But so many times people say the minute that you bring out something in their life that they're doing that's against God's law or Christ, they're automatically say, well, don't judge me. I found out a while back, more time people say, don't judge me, they're not a born-again Christian. Okay, because I want the Word of God to judge me. I want you to know the Word of God. And I want you, with the spirit you have, when you see something in my life, I want you to come out of Christian in love and say, brother, I need to talk to you. I'm seeing this taking place, and that's not of the Lord, and I'm not sure if that's what you're doing or not, but if it is, man, let's pray for it and get you through that. I want you to do that to me. I will do that with you, out of love. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We want to receive that. But so many times when we try to share that with people, right away they say, well, don't judge me. All right, God says to judge yourselves. If you judge yourself by the Word of God, you won't be judged. Amen. I'd rather judge myself the word, find out I got sin, repent from it, turn away from it. I'll never be judged on that again.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. John 12. And we're going to go to verse 47. It says, if anyone hears my sayings, Christ is speaking to us, and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I do not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He rejects me and does not receive my sayings as one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last days. He's saying, listen, I've told you. I've shared the truth. Okay? You don't want to receive it? That's up to you. But that same word that Jesus spoke to us will be judging us at the last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that His commandments, the eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. Amen. 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 When we hear this Word of God, as you read this Word of God, and as the Holy Spirit convicts your heart, man, don't reject it. Receive that. Receive that. Oh, thank you, Lord, for bringing something out in my life that's not lining up with your word. Lord, get this out of my life and show me what's next. And continue that way. What a way to please God. Amen? He wants us to always want to please Him. And folks, this is what following Jesus Christ is all about. To look at His Word, receive His Word, knowing this Word is given to us for our own good. Okay? It might step on your toes. It might cause you to quit going some places that you're going now. It might cause you to stop associating with some people you're associating with right now. It might cause you to even change your hobbies. All kinds of stuff. It could cause you to change it. If it does, do it. Because it's for your own good. Remember, God's already in tomorrow. He sees you tomorrow. He knows what I need tomorrow. And some of the stuff He sees that I need, He doesn't want me bringing certain stuff with me in order to get that. So He'll show that out of love. You know, conviction, conviction, conviction. And you say, well, preacher, what do they show you all the time? I mean, aren't you better than we are? Am I better than you are?
No.
No, I'm not. I have a higher calling of bringing forth the Word. But I am the same as you. And what you bring down my life right now, a lot of times, is, ooh, you're wasting too much time. Do you really need to watch both halves of the Cleveland Browns? You know? Just watch the last half, because you know they're going to lose anyway. Okay? But seriously, if anybody ever watched sports, it's always the last 2 minutes. You know, most of us, we sleep anyway. Till the last 2 minutes comes on, you know. Last time there, I could spend more time in the Word that way, or in prayer. So that's what that's how He talks to me a lot, you know. I know how He talks to you. I mean, like I said, down in Kentucky, He was talking to me with a southern voice, you know. But I just want to listen. Yes, Lord, show me. Show me. And then what He'll do, you know, when you say, God, I want to please You more and more, He'll give you that desire. And you find yourself, well, maybe I can turn off that second football game today and maybe be in prayer or read the Bible or, you know what I'm saying? He'll, as you say, God, I want to please You, give me the desire, He'll start changing the way you think. You know, I mean, have you ever had anything in your life that you really enjoyed? And then when you become a born-again Christian, boy, you cared for it less and less and less. That's the Lord taking it out of your life. I'm not saying what you were doing is sinful. Okay, watching the football game isn't sinful. But when there's urgent needs and prayer needs to be gone on, it can be. It'd be like if you're in the military and they call us to arms and you say, well, I'll go out in a little bit. You know, I'll wait to halftime. Well, when you wait to halftime, it could be too late. We need to go when the Spirit moves upon us. Okay, so that's how He continues to, every one of us, He continues to take stuff out of us and put stuff in us. Matthew 16. Verse 24. Then Jesus said to the shepherd Christian assembly, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? So as followers of Jesus Christ, as born-again believers, He says to deny ourselves and take up His cross and to follow me. And when He's saying, the cross is a sign of death. Okay? So He's saying, carry your cross every day. Die to our sinful needs. And follow Jesus. That's what He's talking about. You know, allow Him to live through us. And that's daily. And sometimes that cross can get pretty heavy. And there's some things in life that He wants us to get out of that you have in your life right now. And boy, He just don't want to do that. And that cross is getting heavier and heavier. But again, if the Lord's told you to remove that from your life, if His Word's already told you, get it out of your life. Some people say, well, I just won't read the Bible. You know, if I don't know. He said, preacher, what He told me to get out of my life. If I don't know it, I can keep in my life. Well, I'll tell you what, yes and no. If you, and the Bible uses the word a lot, it says practice sin. If you continue to practice sin, He said, man, there's nothing we can do for you. Because you want to practice sin, that means you want to get better at it, you continue in that. There's nothing that Christ can do for you because He died to forgive you your sins and for you to get out of your sins. Okay? What does sin do in your life? Sin blocks the communication of God. It stops His blessing. So even though you don't know this, what you're doing is sin, Cindy. Sin, Cindy. Hey, that's sin. Even though what you're doing is sinful, but you don't know it yet, it still has the same effect in your life. Okay, it will still interrupt God's blessing into your life. Okay, it don't condemn you to hell. Okay, because you're not practicing it willfully. Okay, but it will interrupt your relationship with God. And that's why it's so important to study the Word of God and find out, man, I didn't know this was sin. I didn't know that. I thought everybody could just add down 2 or 3 more people in their tax return. You know? Well, I didn't know that, man, Steve, GE is a big company, and I just carried out 1 toolbox a month extra. But man, the eyes of God, that's sin. Well, and there's people that work for employers, steal off of them, and don't think there's anything wrong with it, okay? Because in their head, well, they don't pay me enough money, it's a big company. But it's still theft, okay? So it still interferes with your witnessing. If you're a Christian and you're carrying out GE's toolbox, it's still going to interfere a little bit with your witnessing process, you know? But the minute you realize, man, that's sin, wow, you quit doing that. God, I'm sorry. Maybe even bring the tools back to GE. Man, you open that relationship more and more and more. So I want more of the Word. I want to understand it. I want to break it down more and more because I want whatever God calls sin out of my life. Because I want to please Him. I want His blessing because as He blesses me, I get to bless other people. And as He blesses Steve, He gets to bless me. Amen? Amen. So that's where this Word comes in at. And as you read the Word, remember what He says. He says that He sent His Word. He sent His Word to what? To heal us. To direct us. So sometimes when you say, man, Pastor, I've been doing everything I think of. I've been doing everything right. Man, I've been coming to church. I've been tithing. I've been doing this and that. I just feel like I'm hitting a rock wall. Okay, what's in your life? What else is there in your life that maybe you know, God's bringing your attention, but you're not sure what you're supposed to do with it? And most of the time they'll say, well, you know, He's been bringing me back to this. Okay, well, let's get in the Scripture and see what it says. And that's how we grow in Christ. Amen? It's no different going to a doctor's office. You go to a doctor's office, how foolish it would be to lie to the doctor about the aches and pains that you have. And you expect to leave the doctor's office feeling better. Tell them. Tell them with every ache. I walk in Dr. Gwynn, I have a list. Because you ever get in front of the doctor and you forget everything? You know, you start talking, you know, and pretty soon you don't feel that bad, you know. I have a list. Well, on this such as this date, this, I give it to Him. That way I don't forget. Because He needs to know everything that's going on in order to get me corrected, okay? And same way we need to with God. We need what His Word says in order to get us corrected and get us on, keep us on the right path. And Luke 6. Luke's not sick. He's a doctor. Well, go to chapter 6. Luke. Chapter 6, verse 46. And Jesus is speaking to many today. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? He said, why do you call me your Savior, your Lord, and you don't do what I tell you to do? He says, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts upon them, I will show you who he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when a flood rose, when tribulation came, when trouble came into their life, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house upon the ground without any foundation. And a torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed. And the ruin of that house was great. Again, he goes back and he says, you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say. What he wants us to continue on is allowing his word to be, yes, amen. That's it. That's final. If Christ said it, we're going to do it. And folks, it's so awesome because if my wife and I ever have a dispute on anything, we can go to the Word of God and that dispute is settled. Amen? I mean, we just can't agree. And if you're ever married, there's times you just cannot agree. I get an amen on that? Yeah. There is times, and something there, you know, it could be minor, you know, you can't agree what color car to have or whatever, you know. Well, the Bible says for a husband and wife, to love one another and put their needs first. And so, you know, Aaron back here wants a blue car, Lori wants a yellow car. And Aaron goes, oh, well, you have yellow, you know, you have blue. So what do you compromise? You take blue and yellow, mix it together, and then you get the color there. Yeah. There's always a way of finding that neutral in there. Okay? I hear at times, not in this congregation, I hear people say, well, I don't care what the Lord says, Buck. I ain't going to do it. Ah! People say that. They say, man, you gotta seek forgiveness, because if you have unforgiveness in your heart, that shuts you down from the Lord. You gotta seek that, you know. I just can't forgive. Some people say, I just can't forgive, help me. Other ones say, I will never forgive.
Yeah.
Well, okay, then we go back. Willfully sinning and not willfully sinning. If you say, man, Pastor, I'm trying to forgive. I'm trying to forgive what they did to me. Man, you're awesome. Continue in prayer and fasting, and God will bring you through. But if you get in your part in your heart and say, man, I don't care what God says, I'll never forgive them what they did to me. Man, for God, you just wrote your own death warrant on that. Because you have to forgive. You got, want to. Just think about your own life. If you're born again Christian, think of what He's already forgiven you of.
Yes.
Man, He forgave me of a death penalty to hell. Yes. Wow. So what could ever come to me that would say, man, I cannot forgive them? Mine would be, Lord, let me forgive them and even bless them above that. You know, show them His love and glory. Now, these scriptures come today for this reason. Number one, that we have to be built. We have to be built upon that firm foundation of the Word. Because we're not, when the storm of life comes, we're going to blow over. And right now, today, our brothers and sisters in Syria, they're having a storm coming against them. And it's all over the world, but in Syria right now, the Christians are being gassed, they are being murdered. We spoke a while back about China. They have Christians in jail in China, and they use them almost like a game pieces to kill them. I believe the time is coming very soon where you'll have the death sentence that's gone on public coliseums and on TV. A few weeks ago in prayer, I was talking to the Lord, and I shared this with a few people. I thought, like, Lord, why do we keep people on death row? Why? How long should we keep on death row? You know how much money it costs to keep people on death row? I shared this with Sister Carol, didn't I, Carol? Yeah, I thought, man, how much money? I mean, man, someone's in 10 years in death row. That's almost $1 million. And he shut my mouth up so quick. I said, okay. He says, Starkey, whose money is that? Well, Lord, everything's yours. I said, shut up then. He said, that man or woman on death row, number one, is someone's daughter or son. But number, the greatest thing, he says, that's my creation. He says, I already gave everything I have for that one to come to me. And that person could be on death row for 10 years, hear the gospel, and get born again. Amen. He says, I have a con. What's money? What's $1 million compared to eternity? I said, you're right, Lord. Our brother Kenny once shared me a story of a gentleman that he knew, death row. He was going to be sentenced to die. And he got born again. And his sentence got changed to life in prison. He is sharing the gospel.
Right.
Sharing the gospel. Now, anybody here want to go to prison tomorrow? I don't want to. No. But I tell you what, though, praise God, if I have to go to prison tomorrow, I thank God I got a Christian brother in there somewhere that I can look up and say, come on, iron sharpens iron. Amen? Every one of us the Lord can use. Every one of us, we have to stay firm on that word. But Syria, I mean, it's just dreadful what's going on. In the Bible, the apostles, the original ones, and on through history, they were martyred. And what we have to have in our spirit, we have to have our foundation same as they have. Because what has happened then is coming back here. And I ask you today, which one of us? Come here, Ryan. Again, my son. Proud of my son. I'll do anything for my son. But what happens when this takes place? This has happened. It happened to Bartholomew, and in Syria is going on. But in order to come against Christians, you know what they've done before? They flayed Christians alive. So what will take place? My son is stretched out. Yeah, let's stretch out on the floor, will you? I'm going to show them. I mean, I'm his son. I'm his father. But they would start at the ankles and go forward, removing the skin while they're alive. And they would torment, like, where's your God at now? Where's this Jesus that you serve now? While they were doing that to him, they would have me bound over here as his father watching him, or the mother over here. Taking the skin off a living being because they're a follower of Jesus Christ. And what Ryan needs in his spirit, if this should ever happen, as they start filleting his body, is God forgive them. He needs to look at his captives, his enemy, and say, listen, God's got a better plan for you. You know, it's not me that you hate, it's Christ, and Christ came to die for your sins. He needs a witness to them. As every piece of skin is taken off his body, his hair is removed, till his last breath and his spirit, it needs to be the same as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Come to the Lord. Repent from your sins. He died for you. There's a better place. Because, hey, the word strengthened the spirit that's in us. This body is nothing. This body is nothing. It houses our soul and our spirit. We need it in our life. We need it in our spirit. We need that word in us so strong that if this day would ever come, that we would lay there and testify about Christ. Folks, this is the reality of where Christianity is today. We are being persecuted. Jesus said we'd be persecuted. I don't know in America will ever come to this part where Christians will be filleted alive. But look at how they're coming against us right now. I mean, we're rejected to testify in some places, and Muslims and stuff are welcome in. We have the Spirit of the living God. We have the love of God in us. And he wants us to... I bent the end on that purpose. That way I won't stab anybody. My wife will give me, like, watch out. But we have the living Spirit of God in us to share his love. And that's what he called us to do. I don't ever want to be in this situation. I don't ever want to be in this situation. But I know if I'm there, God will give me the strength. And will give us each the strength today. And so I would like to do right now is... You can get up, my son. Thank you. I know, but there are people that, and they do that. Yeah. And they stand firm on the word, Bill.
I know.
And it can't be easy, but I believe that, man, as you just lift up the name of Jesus, like Stephen, he's being stoned to death, and he looked up and he saw heaven, he saw Christ sitting in the right hand, and man, he welcomed into heaven. He'll do the same to us, because that is a testament. How many of them people, Paul was standing there. The Apostle Paul watched Stephen be stoned to death for being a Christian, thinking he was doing God's will. And then shortly thereafter, Paul, which was Saul at the time, was born again.
Yes.
He recalled that. And I believe that's part of what comes back to Paul's life when he says, Satan gives me a thorn in my side. I believe he calls it Satan is a messenger. And I believe what it is, he kept thinking about, man, how I killed Stephen and other Christians. And Christ said, listen, my grace is sufficient. You might start getting down on yourself. You might start thinking, but hey, you just keep on going. You just keep on going. Satan will keep bringing back up to you, but you just keep on going where you was at. So I would like to lift up our brothers and sisters in Syria this morning for us to intercede and pray for their strength. Pray for their captives, the enemy, that their hearts would be changed and that they would be born again. And for our brothers and sisters here and abroad. What's that, huh?
Egypt,
Africa. You know, Brother Peters, you listened to him last week, or Tammy. You know, they are 3 hours away from Pastor Peters. 72 years old, a man preaching the gospel, starting and still raising orphans and stuff, and he won't back down. He'll stand there and look right in the eyes, and he'll witness to them with every sword they have coming towards him, and he'll testify of the Lord. And I just pray, as we have been lifting him up for years, that behind him is one of them orphans are matured now, and they will take Pastor Peter's place and continue to witness to them the love of Jesus Christ. Please join me in prayer. Father, we do come before you today, and it's our privilege, God, to intercede this morning. for our brothers and sisters around the world, for those we just spoke of, for Pastor Peters and everyone, God, and for ourselves here, Lord. Father, we continue to build our relationship with you upon the Word, your Word, your precious Word. Every word spoken, every letter in that Word, Father God, has a plan and purpose for our life to strengthen us. For when times get rougher and rougher in these times we're in today, God, that we'll be strengthened, that we'll stand firm out of love for your Word. Father, that our eyes, God, may be continually changed to see through your eyes, God, to see people that you've created, that you love, that you care for, that you want to see them return back to you. May we see, God, opportunities like we've never seen before. May we see this opportunity, Father God. May we yield ourselves more and more to the urging of the Holy Spirit to speak, to share your love, to share that truth, God. And Father, we just pray for discernment at times to see whether it's time to jump in the water yet, Father God, to rescue, or if it's still time to stay back on the bank a little bit and allow their strength to dwindle before we bring them to your strength, Father. We just pray, Lord, today for that wisdom. And Father, for Syria now, Lord, and for all those, we just lift them up today. Father, may this feel your presence. Those in captivity right now, may this be supercharged right now, God, knowing that the brothers and sisters, Father, are lifting them up in prayer today, that the Holy Spirit be stronger within them, Lord, that they have a bolder testimony today, that your love will shine out through them in such a way, God, that they're captives today. Those who are running in prison in these countries today, Father God, that, man, their hearts will be touched. Just like when Paul and Silas, Father God, your power dropped in that jail cell, may it do again today, Father God, that the jailers be born again, Father. May it work the way up to the commanders, God, even to the head of the countries, Father. May the lie of the enemy be brought forth, Father God. May people hear and understand that what they are speak is nothing but lies. And you tell us that the father of lies is Satan, God. And may he be revealed in all his ugliness to every one of us, God. May our spiritual eyes and their eyes continue to grow, that they may see, God, more and more of the ways of the enemies, and that you, through the Holy Spirit, will give them a word, or give them an opportunity, God, to turn back around those who have been falling in the lie, God, they will come back and walk into the light. Father, I pray today for the powers of every country, God. Father, that those are in leadership for our President Obama, Father God, and around the world today, that the Holy Spirit will go forth, God, and bring forth men and women who are born again to speak out of love and out of boldness your Word into their lives, God, that they would yield themselves the way they govern this country and the countries around us, God, that we would turn back, not just as a nation, but as a world, Father God, that we would turn back once again and recognize Yahweh, Jehovah, God Almighty, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that we recognize that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that he is the only way back to you, Father, Lord, that people will see that, and these lies that they've been hanging on to, God, will be bursting. And those, God, that they've falsely been told that they are Christians, that they are walking with you, and that they have no relationship with you. God, we just pray today that the Word would come upon them, and their eyes would be open, and they would start, like I said earlier, be convicted. And I once felt my strength draining from me. May they feel the same thing, God. And may we be there, a brother or a sister be there, intercede to step in and show them Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And that they will not be offended when sin is brought to them, God, when they are to recognize the sin in their life, that they will receive that and say, wow, I didn't know that. And God, for every one of us as born-again believers, as we are recognized more and more what we do or not is not pleasing to you, may we receive that out of love, and may we continue on to strengthen one another, Lord. And Father, we pray for those now heavy on our hearts, God, for our military personnel. We pray for their safety around the world, Lord. And God, I just pray also for this nation. God, it's terrible, Father. We look at Syria, we see gas that was used to kill little babies and people over there, God. But may we also see the tragedy that we have in our own country, God, that daily that we kill little babies here. Father, there's a pill out there now that you take, and it's a chemical, and it's wiping out life. And may we see, God, that we are not pleasing to you. May we see, Lord, that we have got laws on our books that's offensive to you. That, Father, you call things murder, and you call things abomination, and we are calling them justly. And, Father, we're wrong, and we just ask for forgiveness of our sins, Lord. We just lift up this nation, God, that our eyes be opened, Lord. That God-fearing men and women, born-again Christian, will raise up out of love and share the truth and stand for the truth, Father. And here we are, Father God, in Coshocton, Ohio, Lord, in this area that we can stand for truth, Father God, here in our jobs, in our marriages. We can do that in our school boards, anywhere that we go, Father God, that we can also stand up for your truth. So we just ask for the strength. That we may yield ourselves to you in all areas of our life. But truly, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and grant you peace. May you walk in victory. May the Holy Spirit continue to encourage you. And may wherever you step, may that become the property of the Lord. Whatever you speak, may that become yours. And may loved ones that you've been praying for, may you see a great growth in them throughout this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.